Welcome to The Watchman, 1 hour of great teaching on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Watchman. Today, as we continue our study on various things, but especially the times in which we currently live. So I want us to explore a few things here and how what we expect from these moments that we live in and the wonderful things that God is doing now. It may not seem like that to some people, but there are actually so many wonderful things that the Lord is doing in our time. So I just want to start with this scripture, which so many people of course know, and just expound on it as we go into other things that I do want us to speak about. Ephesians 6 verse 10. And it's a whole load of scripture which has been, you know, read over and over again. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the wiles also means the schemes, the schemings of the devil. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, of course, that's different from the way so many people present the devil, as though he is attacking them indirect, you know, an attack, or the kind of thing you'd find maybe from somebody who, you know, has been under attack and whom you're going to cast a demon out of. Now, here he says actually a lot of what he's telling us here to stand against are the schemes. And now those are the ones that we speak about, the schemes where he plots something. And almost entirely all his schemes are about, or his wiles are about distorting the truth and taking the truth out of context, distorting it, and eventually presenting a lie and presenting it as truth so that people believe a lie rather than the truth. So that those are the schemes. So he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Then he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, of course, people do a lot of times know about principalities, and those are the lower version of those demons. It goes higher in ascending order, principalities, those what he calls powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now, you have to understand that these people, they come up with something for every different age. So the deceit that is dedicated to this age is different from that which was dedicated to ages before us. And you see the things, for instance, that our young people face in their growing up, and you realize they are totally different from the things that we faced in the time that we were growing up, because the age has changed. I'm not meaning age of how many years and so on, although that also is a bit part of it, but I'm saying there's a change in age. So the mulembe has kind of changed. So now there's a deception for every age. So he talks about against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, this particular age that we are living in. Now, of course, he was talking about the age in which he lived, in which Paul lived, and that, I'm sure, the deception was of a different kind, okay? And if you look at some of the things that Paul wrote about in the scriptures, the deception was of a different kind. But of course, there are things which cut across throughout all the generations and are there. But then, there are those which are new for the age that we live in. And I've spoken a bit about those, and even the way they are presented is different, this age, than the way it was presented previously. Then he goes on to say, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, those being the highest of the demonic forces which are up there. But now I want to just a bit talk about this, the dark rulers of the darkness of this age. And those are the demonic forces that come and create a kind of trend that is of a demonic nature. A kind of trend that is of a demonic nature, and they come and they present it, and they said it to people in different ways, actually different from what they used to do before. For instance, I was talking to some young person who is in his early teenage, and he was telling me how a lot of his friends listen to very sad music, and this is the trendy music. And actually, he told me about a musician who had not heard of course, because of the age difference. And she's also a teenager, and she's kind of grooming people into this thing. And it is called, and she's called, I'm not so sure I want to mention her. Okay, but I will, you know, I don't think I'll mention her name. But the thing is, this musician, you listen to her songs, and it is sad lyrics. So now this, boy told me that, and he is spiritual, and he's, you know, he hears from God. And he told me that he was, you know, repeating her song, that lady. And he had a voice telling him, stop, stop. And then he looked at the lyrics, and then he realized the lyrics are very sad and very depressing, and they bring with them a certain aura of depression. And yet this is the music that our young people listen to. Then you wonder why there are so many young people who are depressed, who are miserable, and they really have no reason to be. Because I was telling him, I told him, when we grew up in our time, we actually had a lot of hardships to endure. But there was not a single case of depression. I don't remember anybody being depressed in school, even if we went through hard and torrid times, you know, as a result of lack and also and hardships. But somehow we managed to be happy through it all, and we wound up happy through it all. Now, these people who have not faced anything close to what we faced somehow managed to get themselves into a place of depression and anger and bitterness and, it's some kind of inward rebellion towards any form of authority and so on. But all that is a transmission of a demonic spirit. And now these demonic spirits are part of what I've called here the darkness of this age. Where, you know, it's bringing about rebellious kids, you know, depressed children, angry children, and, you know, even young people, so to speak. Now, and it is transmitted a lot through music. And the music that they listen to is just puts them in that place. And people do not understand the power of music, because I'll tell you this, even without any lyrics, just with the instrumentation, there can be sounds which just create a hellish atmosphere around you, and they can create any kind of atmosphere, just the sounds, because people don't understand that those sounds come from, you know, the spiritual world. So you can be happy on this day, and then somebody comes and plays some sound in the background, and suddenly you're miserable, or you're, you know, in the verge of depression, and everything looks so grim in front of you, and you do not know where life is heading, you do not see a purpose in it, and you're what? And 1 minute ago you were happy, and just that sound in itself has created that. Now, the sound comes and affects your soul. That's music, the language of the soul. It comes from there and affects your soul. You see this a lot in movies, for instance. In a movie, you can tell by the music where the scene is going. And if the scene and if the music is taken away, it takes away from, you know, that what you're watching, so to speak. For instance, if you're watching a horror and there was no sound, if you actually turned down the volume, you'd find that you're not as scared as you would be when the volume is on, because those sounds in the horror movie actually carry with them a fear around them, so that they put you in that mold where you are scared. And it's not just what you're watching, what's on screen, but it's also the sounds that are coming out of the screen and so on. And there are sounds, of course, for joy, there are sounds for romance, there's some music they will play in the background when two people are sitting out having a romantic time, and you get the whole thing, and you can just pick the vibes through the sound. Now, in much the same way, this depression thing, which is so much what the devil is pushing for right now, depression and, sadness and so on, and rebellion and so on, but especially depression, it is all being pushed through the power of music. Now, when you look at this lady, whom I have to check after that young boy told me his experience, when you look at her, I mean, actually, I was shocked by how she looks. She and what she says. She says she gets this music from the underworld. She says that she doesn't hide it. Gets it from the underworld, and she goes ahead to confess that, you know, it's from there. And she actually looks terrible. She looks like somebody from the underworld. Her eyes are all turned in a certain way. She actually looks terrible. You can see this person cannot be carrying something good. Clearly, it's demonic. But even the lyrics are bad. So now the music, the tunes, the tune and the instrumentation actually affects your soul. Then the lyrics go for your mind. Now, by the time you're through with, you know, humming that tune and repeating after those words, you're already in a state of sadness and you do not know why you're sad. And now you've been hit by spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And now why is it this age? This age, they are pushing that. Then of course now these young children take away the fact that they are not going to school and their usual programming has been disrupted and what, through the same people, of course, using our wicked governments, through all these systems, okay? You're not going to school, you're not going to play sport, you're not going to what, you know, you're not going to church, all these things have been stopped. So, and then now you're home listening to this kind of music from these kind of demonic people, and you're actually tuned into the voice of hell. And then the next thing you find young people, you know, not happy, and they absolutely have no reason not to be happy. Now, that is the darkness of this age. There are other things that are pushed to this age, but that thing, I spoke about it last time when I was talking about the mental illness thing, because now you get depressed because you listen to that song from this young musician. Then the next thing, people are telling you, no, accept that you have mental health problems, and you actually go down a path that is a complete lie. And now that's how the world is the devil controls this world through lies. Just he presents a lie. He presents something to you through, you know, lyrics and tunes, which put you in a certain mold around you and make you feel disillusioned about everything about your life. And you forget that a few minutes ago, you were actually happy. And then the next thing, mental health, what, go to this, is depressed, is that. Then now the whole world looks grim and nothing is good. Food is not good, you know, you're not enjoying being with your friends and so on. And then you go down a certain path, which is all deception. Now that's what this does, the rulers of darkness of this age. Now every age has had one major thing that defined them, okay? One thing that defined them. The age of, for instance, in the 1960s, before even I was born, there was all this, you know, in America they call them the swinging 60s, when people started becoming rebellious to, you know, authority and started, you know, wanting a certain, the whole culture of the parties pushed on. Still, even then, it was pushed on by a certain, rock band or groups. Now, this is what the devil does. It comes in the form of, there will be the music to back it, there will be the movies to back it, okay, and then there will be the celebrities to back it, and then it becomes a trend, and then people buy into that deception, and then when they buy into the deception, it defines the age. Now that's the purpose of the rulers of the darkness of this age. They want to define the age with a certain behavior that is contrary to the will and purpose of God. So they and they know how to instill that behavior through, those systems that they have in place. So you'll find maybe even the colleges are teaching something, then the movies are promoting that same thing, then the music is also all about that thing, and then everywhere you turn, even the comedies, the what and all that, and then there is this celebrity who is, a front man. The person at the forefront of that message which they are pushing. And then before you know it, the whole age has been defined, and then you find in just a period of a few years, everything has turned on its head, and things which were considered to be outrageous just a few years ago are now the norm right now, and even are considered woke and even cool. Yet 5 years ago, they were considered totally, completely outrageous. Now the age has been defined. Now, of course, I will just get through this, and I'll tell you that this really doesn't have to be the case for a lot of us. Then he says, so That's what people should be awake to. Now, when you are one part of the people who has been called to be a watcher, and even I'm talking even about young watchers, what you must do is make sure that you sense, why is it that suddenly there is everybody talking about one thing, and you turn here, it's there, you turn here, it's there, you turn here, it's there, then you know it cannot just be a coincidence. Okay. Now, one of the other things they are going to push, of course, in this age, and I saw it the other time, is I saw it some years ago, about 2 or 3 years ago, is the thing of absence of faith. Okay, where there is no faith, there is godlessness. Actually, the absence of faith. And you remember Jesus said, "But when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? Shall he really find faith on earth?" Because he knows that towards the end of the age, there will be these rulers of the darkness of the age trying to take faith away and basically make people not believe in anything and therefore remove their anchor. So I saw it one time. It started with, for some reason, I saw DSTV had, they are showing the movie of, a Beatle called John Lennon. Now, John Lennon was one of the people of the 60s who defined that age of rebellion and so on, saying that he's more popular than Jesus Christ and so on. And there was, and of course, now that might not sound so, because people have said worse things, it might not sound so outrageous. We've had celebrities saying things worse. But in the 1960s, for somebody to come out and compare themselves and say they are more famous than Jesus, that was like absolute sacrilege. But he was the front man of that age. And now, there's that song that he sang where he was talking about, imagine there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, just enjoy life. Now, that song, suddenly there was a movie about John Lennon on DSTV, and it was being showed everywhere. John Lennon, John Lennon, you turn around, everybody was talking John Lennon as the front man of that thing. Of course, he died not long after he said those things. Then, the next thing you look around, UNICEF here was getting musicians, local musicians, and paying them money to sing that song of John Lennon. And then the next thing, here, there were so many dots being connected, and you realize that there was a move, that is the rulers of the darkness of this age were trying to push a period of unbelief, and rejection of God and the existence of God and, the influence of God on our lives. So then you know that. So when you are watching these things, you look around and say that what is it that is being pushed? Now, there was a time when the age would last almost 10 years when they are pushing something 10 years. Now, I don't think it even lasts a year because you can sense immediately that one day they are pushing this, the next day they are pushing another, and they are changing cultures so fast that it's very difficult for some people to even keep up. Yeah, because the culture is changing far too fast for everybody, for anybody. And these things seek to change the culture and, all those things. So anyway, I'll go ahead. There it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Now I want you to know, to notice that when he's talking about taking up the whole armor of God, he says the purpose of taking up the whole armor of God is to be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, there is an evil day. There is a day when you are attacked and you are under attack, perhaps more than other days. And we see that in the life of Jesus Christ when he was tempted in the wilderness. And he was tempted, then he overcame those temptations. And then it says the devil left and waited to come at another opportune time. Now, at that time, he leaves defeated, but then he comes back. Now, that is the evil day. But now, after that defeat, there is almost always, this moment of a high. High meaning, not H-I, but H-I-G-H. When you're feeling high and, elevated because you've just overcome this. But you have to be able to stand in the evil day by taking on the whole armor of God. So that when that evil day comes back again, when you're under extreme pressure, extreme temptation, you know exactly what to do. And he goes on to tell you that having done all that, the purpose of taking on the whole armor of God, so that having done all of that, at the end of it all, you stand. Then he says that, stand therefore having guarded your waist with truth. Now here is the thing, because the one thing the devil always will want to attack would be the truth. The truth, that's the one thing that he would want to attack, of course. now. And as I've told you, he comes and substitutes the truth with a lie. 1 minute you're happy, and that is the truth, you're happy. You know you're in the joy of God, and there's nothing perturbing you. The next minute, you are depressed, and your truth has been taken away. So he says, gather up your waist with truth. But then also, so that you know that even when there is an appearance of something that is not good, you know very well that it's a lie. The truth is that I'm okay. Okay? Now, in Second Peter, I believe, where he talks about present truth. Okay? Where he talks about present truth. Now, I'll read for you the scripture. It's, I believe, in Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 12, where the apostle talks about the present truth, which means that there is truth that was true sometime, just like there are temptations that were, you know. There, of course, as always, there is a truth that stands forever, which is Jesus Christ. And he says he's the way, the truth, and the life. But then there is a truth for a season, okay? What the church is supposed to do, what the message that God is pushing for a specific season. Now, that is the truth. Because just like in the demonic world, there is that, you know, thing they are pushing for a season. Now, also God pushes certain things for a season. It can be, you know, he's pushing, let's say, a particular grace. Let's say he's pushing a prophetic grace. And now everybody is, you know, somehow tuned into a prophetic grace. And that is the thing that is being pushed at the time. And the Spirit of God is moving in that direction. And now, when you are not established in that present truth, and you hold on to a truth that was previously there, then you miss out on it. Yet, actually, what you have is truth, okay? But it might not be truth in the way that the Spirit of God wants it to be at that moment. I'll give you just the other side of, you know, of the divide. Now, the temptations that were, you know, faced, were being faced by, let's say, our parents in the 1960s, if you brought them now, you would be offside. Yet there actually were temptations at that time, but they are not temptations now, because things have been kind of been, you know, tuned up a bit, if you know what I'm saying. So even in that area, so the lies of the 1960s are different from the lies of now, because they have been tuned up. So somehow, in as much, of course, the liar is the same. And the spirits are the same, but they just keep on changing. Now, in much the same way, Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, he says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Okay? Now, the fact that he says present truth means that there was a truth that was, you know, because even the law at some stage was the truth. You know, thou shalt not do A, B, C, and all that. And that was truth given by Moses to the children of Israel. And these are the same people whom Peter was writing to. And that was truth. It was not lies. It was truth. It was handed down by God at some stage. But then, that truth changed after Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, different things happening in the church change. For instance, there was a time when people were martyred, people would believe Jesus Christ and die, and believe Jesus and die, and, you know, and that was for the almost 200 years between, and 10 emperors in Rome, between Nero, who about 68, about 68 AD, all the way up to an emperor called Diocletian, who ruled up to 312 AD. A period of over about 250 years of, you know, just muttering matters, Christians being muttered. But then after that, everything changed. Now, there was a different, then came the dark areas, then what, then the gospel. Now, different times come for different eras. Now, there was the evangelical times of the evangelism, the healing movement. Of course, all these things still remain. There's still the healing movement. Then afterwards, then there's the pastoral thing when the church was being developed as a church. And, you know, somehow the local church was being strengthened by the Lord. Very good. And it's still there, still strong. But God moves on when this thing has been established. Then he moves on to another thing. Now, and the purpose is to establish all these things so that people have all of them in their fullness. Now, the trouble is some people get a hold of one truth and they don't want to move on. When God moves on, they stay where they were before. That's why Peter says that you established in the present truth. Now, here he says, stand therefore. Now, I'm going back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 now. He says, stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth. Okay, so I could add as well with the present truth. Okay, because there is truth, truth, truth. So there was truth of the Lord, truth of, you know, the grace of God at the time, and truth, different things which God is pushing at the time. Of course, they are all true and they are all from the same truth, who is Jesus Christ. So then he says, having put on, so that means that you guard your waist with truth. That means you do not believe a lie. You believe what the Bible says about you. You do not believe a lie that is being propagated concerning you. And it is just that thing that you refuse to believe and you refuse to receive. You can receive fear, you can reject fear. You can receive depression, you can reject depression and say, I am, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's why Paul says that, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, again, I say rejoice. Because when you lose your joy, that is the beginning of so many things that can go wrong. Then he says here, so guard your waist with truth. So the truth is that I am happy in the Lord. I am accepted among the beloved. And then he says, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the key thing is the righteousness of God. When you understand that you are righteous, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and your righteousness is not of you, is of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no righteousness you are going to have that is not of Jesus Christ. If you try to manufacture any righteousness of your own, the scripture says that is like filthy rags. Now, if you accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ and it manifests in you, then that is the true righteousness. So you accept, I'm righteous. Even when I fail, I am righteous. And that is the truth. So you have the truth and you have the truth also about your righteousness. Now, then you've guarded yourself. Because one of the ways the devil defeats people is by giving them something to condemn themselves about. And the minute they receive it, and then they go with it, and then darkness comes into themselves because they start seeing themselves as unworthy, and that is in contravention to the scripture, which says he has made us, partakers of giving thanks to the Father. Chapter 1 verse 12, he speaks about how the Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. He does not say we have qualified ourselves. We cannot, we could not, we could never. But God qualified us, okay, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God himself did it and said you are qualified. So now if you disqualify yourself, you have not guarded your waist with truth. Because the scripture says you are qualified as long as you are in Christ Jesus. You are qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, accepted among the beloved, and, you know, all blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that is the place. In the same heavenly places where he says there are hosts of wickedness, then God goes right there in the midst of your enemies who want to deceive you. And then he says in the heavenly places, which are even higher than these ones. These ones are second heavenly places. Now, in the first heavenly places, where the Lord Jesus Christ dwells and his kingdom is, the throne of his kingdom, there he says he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in those heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that is the truth. Now you have to guard your waist with the truth that I am blessed, I am protected, nothing bad can happen to me, the angels of God surround me. The scripture says like mountains surround, you know, Zion. So, you know, the angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him. So, you know, as somebody who fears God, angels are encamped around you. That is the truth. Now, it might not seem like that. You might feel scared, but you always have that at the back. You guard your waist with that truth, the truth of the scripture, so that any lie that comes is dismissed. Any lie, you're depressed. No, I cannot be depressed. It is impossible for me to be depressed. You have mental health, shut up. There is no way I have mental health because I rejoice in the Lord. And again, I rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoice always, always. And then you keep yourself and you guard yourself with that truth. And you do never, never depart from it. And then he goes on and says, and then having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, of course, the wicked one fires darts in the form of fear, in the form of deception, in the form of deceiving you that you're going to be badly off, you're not going to be blessed, you're not going to be taken care of, blah, blah, blah. And he fires those darts, but you have to stand against them with faith. Faith in the word of God. And say, no. I know what the devil is trying to say, that I am not blessed, or that I am going to retrogress, and my tomorrow can easily be worse than my today. That's what the enemy is trying to say. But then I know what God is saying, that I go from faith to faith, I go from glory to glory, and I will receive. And whose report will I believe? I will believe the report of the Lord, not of the wicked one. So you refuse to believe anything that is in contravention, okay, to what the truth that we've established up here is. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, then he says, now, I want you to notice that of all the weapons, I mean, of all the armor that he has spoken about here, everything is defensive. The only offensive thing is the sword, which he calls the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only thing with which you attack is the word of God. Now, I'll read it again, just so that you're clear. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, he goes on to describe the armor. That you may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. Then he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There he says, now therefore put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Now this is defensive. And having done all to stand, when the devil has done everything, you're still there standing, unshaken. Now he says, stand therefore, having guarded your waist. Now, the guard around the waist is not to attack, is to protect your waist area and your privates. So you guard your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That one, of course, you know, the breastplate is a defensive weapon with which you guard your chest area. And having shod your feet with the preparation with the gospel of peace, shodding your feet or putting in shoes on you, really, the shoes of the preparation of gospel of peace. So that is protecting your feet. And he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now a shield is also a defensive weapon with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. So you have your shield, which is a defensive weapon against the darts which the enemy is throwing against you. Then another defensive weapon, he says, and take the element of salvation. Element of salvation. So the element which, of course, you put on the head to protect your head from the fiery darts of the enemy. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit. Now the sword is the only attacking armor that he has spoken about here. The only one which attacks, the rest are for defense. And he says, the only one with which you attack is the sword of the Spirit, which he says is the word of God. So you jump in the word of God and refuse to believe anything that is not of God. And kule miracle on what the scripture says, and says, and say to yourself, I will believe the report of the Lord. Now, then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is praying in the Spirit always, always. Praying in the Spirit always. Do not ever stop doing that. Now, a lot of this is also paving way. Praying always in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and the supplication for all the saints. Now, here is what he's saying. Watchful to this end. You watch and persevere and supplication in the praying in the Spirit. Now, the sword of the Spirit and the praying with all prayer and supplication as what you would call like a bit of the offensive. Okay, although prayer is also a bit defensive and offensive. But the one which is offensive is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I want you to know that when you're under attack, and people come under attack, and it has happened to so many people, when there is an attack on you, the first things that happen to you is the enemy tries to take away your offensive weapons. That is, he tries to take away your love for the scriptures. And now there was a time you used to actually enjoy listening to scriptures, or even enjoy people listening to people talking about scriptures, you know, people preaching. So you sit down and you listen to a good word of God from a man of God, and you feel refreshed. Now, when you're under attack, you find that suddenly, you know, you no longer enjoy that the way you used to. You've lost a bit of that inspiration to do that. And you wonder why, but you're under attack. And then the other thing is suddenly you no longer enjoy praying. You suddenly feel like prayer is such a drag. A drag, not D-R-U, but D-R-A. You're dragging yourself to pray, and it is, you know, it's not as interesting. And yet there was a time you used to sit down and you would enjoy your prayer time. Now suddenly you do not enjoy your prayer time. When they say, come and we go for a prayer meeting, you realize that, man, you'd rather do so many other things rather than pray. Then you know you're under attack, because now the devil is trying to take away your offensive weapons. Now when he does that, then he will start, his darts will start going through to you. Then suddenly he shakes your truth. Okay, then suddenly he shakes, you know, everything, the things about you which are defensive, and then you can fall for his schemes. So anyhow, now, knowing that all these things that are happening and the things that the enemy is planning to do, I want you to understand that there is a lot of things that this, we are living in a very exciting time, to be very, very honest with you, a really, really exciting time, because everything that appears to be of darkness, there is a light that is much greater that is somewhere behind there. And it appears to be a time of darkness, yet actually it's a time of extreme light. Now, it depends on what it is you're seeing. Because some people are seeing darkness now, and I've seen a lot of this among Bible prophecy teachers. Now they're talking about the rapture is about to happen, the rapture is about to happen. Man, they are like almost disgusted because they feel they are in a place of defeat, and they do not see where, how they come out of this. Because people are talking now all over the world, by the way, some countries have already started implementing a second lockdown, and now this one is real, real bad. It's real dictatorial, and I'm talking about in countries which are not supposed to be dictatorial, where people are separated, families are separated, all in the name of coronavirus. And it is terrible, like New Zealand. It's really bad. And so now a whole gloom is coming down. People fighting just for the right to pray, things which they, not too long ago, we took for granted. Now you have to fight for the right to pray, fight for this. And then you're saying, how long are we going to just fight for the right to go to work and pray and enjoy yourself and travel? Now you even like, it's a big thing, just traveling. Yet there was a time when it was no big deal. You cross the border, go here, go there, go out. Now suddenly it is not. So now so many prophecy teachers are now seeming to favor the pre-tribulation, the pre-7-year period rapture, because it seems to be the convenient one. I think they're about to sign this thing, so maybe the rapture is about to come, so that we just get out of this world, and just get out of here and leave this messed up world to the people who do not believe in the Lord. But I'm sorry to say to you that that's not how it is going to happen. That is not how it is going to happen. God is not going to come back and take a church that is defeated. That is not his nature. So we are going to stand here, and we are going to fight back, and we are going to get back on top. On top, and I'm talking about on top. And until we are on top, don't expect a rapture. I can tell you that. Until the church is completely on top, do not expect a rapture. Okay? Because then how would you explain certain scriptures which have to come to pass? Okay? Like the one in Isaiah when he says it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above every mountain. You know? So when is that ever going to happen? Of course, and then he says the people of the world will say, come and let us go to the house of God, because that's where there are solutions. Now that is going to happen in our time. So do not get discouraged and say it's time for us to go. It's time. No, no, no. It is not yet time for us to go. And I am the person who has been talking about how we are living in the last days. But now I'm telling you, until you see the church completely on top, there is not going to be any rapture. Now, so many Bible prophecy teachers have been pushing this rapture, but God wants us to first establish something here of his kingdom, okay? The kingdoms of this world belong to our God and to his Christ. And then when we are completely and thoroughly on top, so shall there be a rapture at that point. Otherwise, how do you explain this? The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, of course, concerning, Judah, this is Isaiah chapter 2. And it says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. Okay, the mountain is a government of the Lord's house, shall be established above all governments, the mountain, okay, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. Now, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And then he goes on to say, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. Those who are trying to cause all these cavil by pushing for mark of the beast before its time, all these Bill Gates and his crowd and so on, you cannot be, they are really, really offside. It is not going to work, because it the word of the Lord, unless Bill Gates is going to topple the Bible, which he cannot, he would be deep in hell before that happens. But it cannot happen. The church has to end up on top, and the time for us being on top is actually now, because there has to be something. There had to be something like this for the church to get to the place of rising up. If we had been in the place where we were before, of say nothing, like there is no one standing up against us, no one, there would not be any need for us to rise up and be what God wants us to be. But God says here, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. That's people wanted to fight, and now they suddenly want to do farming. Okay? And their spears into pruning hooks. That's people still wanted to fight, and now they are pruning. Nation shall lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn anymore. Now, that's what I was telling you about the great divide that comes, where certain nations have made a decision to go the side of the devil, and certain other nations have made a decision to go the side of God. Now, where does Uganda fall? It is up to us, the believers, to decide where Uganda falls. Because if the people, the church in the country, decides that we are not going to go with the side of the enemy, then even the rulers, the wicked rulers, will have to sort themselves out. Usually they die and they get out of the way. That's what happens. That's why there is a lot of interest in this government, in the church, dividing them, giving them money to do church SOPs and all that, all these pastors who are taking claim. I mean, and so money, which is really, really unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. But, something has to happen. So I am telling you, the whole pre-trib, it's time for us to go, this world is all messed up. Oh, no, it's not yet time for us to go. We will go when we are on top. But there is good news. You know, there is good news. You just have to turn. Now, when a cloud of misery goes around you, and you're over listening to the news of the world, to the broadcast of the world, and you do not spare any time to listen to the broadcast of heaven, then you never see anything good. All you see is problems, problems, problems. That's what you're seeing. That's all you're seeing. Now, I'll read for you Isaiah chapter 16. Now, this is the time. This is the time of these things happening. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's Isaiah chapter 60, starting from the first verse. Then it says, arise, I'll read it again. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light has come. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. But now listen to verse 2. It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, as it is covering now. And then he says, and deep darkness shall cover the people. Then he says, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory shall be seen over you. Now, for his glory to be seen over you, there had to be darkness in the earth. which we are seeing right now. And it is taking root, but it is just setting the stage for the glory of God to manifest on His church. So there is good news. You have to see the good news. Do not be inundated by the entirety of the bad news, as if everything is gloomy. There is very good news. God is the glorious church of the end time is being formulated before our eyes right now, even amidst all this tribulation. It is being formulated before our eyes, and it is coming out, and there is nothing the devil and his crowd can do about that. Absolutely nothing, because the scripture has to come to pass, and they know it. That doesn't mean they won't try. They will, but they will try. Now, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. Now, when there is darkness all over the place, that's when the glory of God shines upon the people of God, because they are the only ones shining. Everybody else is covered in darkness. So we had to first notice, for the I'll read again, rise, shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And it says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Now, that had to happen. But the Lord will rise over you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. The kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. Now, we had to first experience this darkness for the glory of God. Now, when the glory of God actually comes out, in which is being, you know, but you know, like a flower budding, and suddenly coming out of, you know, of its covering and, you know, budding. Now, that's what is happening to the church right now. As it buds, and now something glorious comes out of it. The final glorious thing. Now, when the church is on top, completely on top, and these forces that seem to have covered the earth have been subdued, and even the crowds that had run to those forces see that those forces are taking them deeper and deeper into darkness, and now they start running towards the church. As Isaiah chapter 2 prophesies, it says that many shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of, go up to the mountain of the Lord. Now, for them to say, come and let us go up, they know that you're up, they are down. Now, it doesn't say, come and let us go down. Okay, now that's what some church people, church folks think. Somebody, some rich man comes from a top place there, and then he comes down to the slum and says, come and let us go down to the mountain of the Lord. No, that's not how it is going to be. The mountain of the Lord has to be up, so that the unbelievers are coming from down going up. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His path. Why? Because they will notice that His ways and His path are the best. And that's what they are looking for. That's where they find the things they are looking for. So, this is what is happening right now. The church being birthed in a glorious fashion. Do not be mistaken by what you see. Do not be mistaken anyway by what you see. And now, but when you are covered in darkness, and how do you get covered in darkness? Because people spend, let me tell you something. I used to watch a bit of news and things happening and so on and so forth, especially on those channels and so on. But after the outbreak of COVID, I totally turned off news channels completely. There is no way you can watch those channels and you remain with your joy and your faith and your, you know, rejoicing and so on. No, they are not. They are broadcasts from hell, and they are bringing to you a certain message which is going to put you now. When you're covered in those messages, and that's what you're seeing, that's what is before you, like those people who are listening to this music of this. And by the way, that lady whom that young boy told me that he listens to, I was seeing recently Barack Obama put out on the day that his wife came and gave a speech blasting Trump and saying they need Joe Biden and so on, the husband, Barack Obama, put up a tweet putting his favorite music of 2020. And all the songs are demonic depression pushing. All of them, including that lady's song, which that boy told me he was singing, and a voice told him, stop. Stop. You are actually chanting. You're chanting. You're doing those enchantings. It comes out as music, but it's actually chanting. So people used to go to shrines to go and do those chantings to call upon demons. But now the shrines move to your music. Now the shrines are on iTunes and I don't know whatever, where people get their music from these days. That's where the shrines are. You pick music there and you're actually doing shan. You know, and now so many of that crowd are going to say, man, Obama said this music is cool. And then they go down there and, man, they are sending them straight into the path of total destruction. And that is really, really sad. So he says that, for with you is, I'll read this second last scripture here before we come to the end of this. He says in Psalms chapter 36, verse 7, I'll start from verse 7. It says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Now here is somebody who is overwhelmed. Okay, I'll start from verse 5. Here is somebody who is overwhelmed, you know, with the goodness of God, overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Actually, I'm even now going to start from verse 1. An oracle within my heart, Psalms 36. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Those are those people. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. That's what you get from those channels and all those music things and those things which people like Obama are promoting as cool, but which actually are sending kids to destruction. So stand aside from that and tell your children to stand aside from those things. He says, verse 3, he has ceased to be wise and to do good. Now, of course, they think they are cool and all that, but they have ceased to be wise. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Now he's overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Now here is somebody who is seeing light, who is seeing good things. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. We will trust in God. Regardless of what the devil and his crowd bring, we will trust in God. Because our God speaks and his counsel shall come to stand. There is none greater than him who shall, you know, overthrow the counsel of God. Even if they do it, even if they all together came together, that's what the scripture says, they cannot overthrow the counsel of God. So we shall trust. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, which I was most interested in, and where I'm going to stop, he says, for with you is the fountain of life. With you is the fountain of life. And then he says, in your light we see light. Now, in God's light, when you stand here in the truth and the light of God, you see light. You don't see darkness. Now the darkness is covering the earth, but for you, you stand in the light and all you're seeing is light. The darkness is far away from you. You're surrounded with light and you're seeing goodness. You're seeing mercy. You're seeing the loving kindness of God. You're seeing his provision. He says they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. That's what you're seeing. You're not seeing all that darkness and so on. You're seeing light. And that's a glorious thing. Glorious thing. You're seeing light. Now, this is the last scripture I'm going to read before I end this message. And it's from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I'll start from verse 22. He says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, that the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, these are very profound things that the Lord is saying here. If your eye is good, in other words, if you choose to see good things and you choose to take away evil things from before you, you choose to separate the good from the profane, and you choose to see good things, you choose to see the goodness of God, then it says your whole body is full of light. I'll read that again. The lamp of the body is the eye. Now, when I choose not to watch the news, I am choosing to keep my eye positive. So I am seeing good things. I'm not seeing anything negative. I'm seeing no evil. I'm hearing no evil. I'm not seeing negative things. I've chosen to switch off the news. Now, if you wake up in the morning and watch CNN and what, you're going to be filled with negativity. It is inevitable. Those people are projecting something that is from a kingdom that you do not belong to if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, so I choose to make my eye good by not watching certain things, and they are not hell. And you wake up in the morning and you're happy, and you go to sleep happy because you've chosen to keep your eyes away from certain things, because your body is full of light. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But then it says in verse 23, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So now there are people who have a truth which they have received from those demonic news channels. And that is the truth that they receive. They have received their truth from those demonic news channels because their eye is, they have chosen that to be their truth. So now when you listen to it over and over and over and over again, it becomes your truth. It absolutely becomes your truth because that's what you know. Now when you go even to argue with somebody, but that's not true, he says, no, it is true. And like, he is so convinced because he is so surrounded by it. Of course, he will not tell you it's true because I listened to it on this news channel, but he is so convinced because that's all he has been fed with. He has actually been force-fed with a lot of lies. So the lies become truth. That's why he said they are guard your waist with what? I mean your waist with truth. Now, he says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. So now that person is full of darkness, but he's sure that he knows the truth. But then he goes on to say here, verse 23 still, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now imagine somebody who knows, who thinks he knows, and yet what he knows is false. So therefore his light is darkness. So you look for light and you're in darkness. Because if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Then he says, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So somebody comes and tells him, pastors want churches to be opened because they want tithe. So you're enlightened with the darkness. You say, yeah, wama, that is truth. That's why, no wonder they are agitating for churches to be opened. They only want tithe. Now, you have been enlightened with darkness. Then if therefore your light, and you think you've seen light, yet you've seen darkness. They say, if your light is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now that person becomes deeper and grows deeper and deeper in his darkness. And they think they are in light, yet actually they are in darkness. So enlighten yourself with light and always be in light. Now we've come to the top of our hour. Thank you so, so much for listening to The Watchman. This Wednesday, I endeavor every Wednesday to give a message to all watchers and all people out there and people who listen to this radio program. And I do encourage you to sow a seed towards it. And you can do that and towards all the other radio programs in the nation. And you can do that by using the numbers that you, of course, you can go to our website and also download the messages and listen to them anytime. If you missed any one of them last week or the week before, the website is www.ugwatchman.com, ugwatchman.com. But you can also use these numbers to sow a seed towards this radio program and the other things of the ministry. The numbers you use are 0780-292-555, 0780-292-555. I'll say that again, 0780-292-555 or Airtel 0755-292-555, 0755-292-555. Thank you so much for listening. Have yourselves a wonderful evening and God bless you.
That was The Watchman. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.